Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 2 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning, we're continuing on in the epistle of 2 Corinthians. I'll be reading the entire chapter, all 18 verses of the third chapter. If you're using the Pew Bibles, you see that that begins the bottom of page 1796. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 18. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a living covenant, not of a letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who are unveiled, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Thank you, Rick. Again, welcome, everybody. Pray you'll keep on coming and make this house of worship your spiritual home. Paul, in this chapter, is talking about the benefits of the new covenant compared to the old covenant or the Old Testament. A covenant is an agreement or a promise that is made between two parties. You know, when two people get married, they covenant together. And God has made covenant in the Old Testament and also the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So we're going to learn about the benefits of the New Covenant, and we could be here for many years explaining that compared to the Old Covenant. First, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone write you a letter, a reference letter, for any reason? Say you wanted to get a new job or get a position or other. You needed somebody to give you a letter, a reference letter. And depending on how favorable those references were or are, that will usually determine whether someone will get a new position, a good job, or not. And not all references are positive. So anyway, before I read one letter that I read, one reference letter, just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you and each one that's here this morning. We thank you that they have made this house of worship their spiritual home. And you've brought us here not by coincidence. Thank you for stirring us up to come and do what's right and to set some time aside on the Lord's day. We get so busy and overwhelmed with the hustle and bustle and all the things that are going on in the world and in our lives. But we can come to this place and find peace and tranquility and to forget about ourselves and our troubles and to learn something new, to focus upon Jesus Christ, who's the most important person who's ever been born, the most important person that we could ever know in this world, because it determines where we will spend eternity or not. So we want to ask you to give us understanding of this chapter that has been read this morning, and we need your help and guidance and understanding, and help us to learn something new and to apply it to our lives through this message that we have prepared for the people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, depending on the reference that is given, will determine if anyone gets a good job or not. Is one reference that I read, not that positive. You've got to read between the lines. The person that read it, wrote it, try to be positive, but he's kind of sending a message to the new employer that really is not recommending this person at all, but he's trying to be as gracious as possible. All right, he said, to whom it may concern, Jane reported to me for 2 years while working as a customer service associate. She did a capable job in some areas. However, in other facets of her position, especially in customer relations, Jane's services are no longer needed by our company. Very diplomatic. Though we wish her well in all her future endeavors, her true ability was deceiving. I most enthusiastically recommend this candidate with no qualifications whatsoever. All in all, I cannot say enough good things about this candidate or recommend her too highly. If I can provide you with any more positive reference, please feel free to call me at area code 111-111-1111. Sincerely, John Smith, manager. From all of Jesus' followers, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the chosen apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit to explain the meaning of the new covenant. Yet, he still had to defend himself from false teachers that came into the church in Corinth in Greece. His opponents or enemies in the church said that Paul wasn't qualified as God's spokesman. He didn't even have any letters of recommendation or commendation from any religious group. So he writes, verse 1 through 3, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, talking to the church, which he founded, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He explains that he doesn't need any letter of recommendation or commendation. His credentials were evident amongst the church due to their transformed lives. They were like an open letter that could be read by all to see because of the difference that the gospel had made in their lives due to his ministry and, of course, the Holy Spirit. And he's hopefully, I'm sure he has, made a difference in our lives, amen, a complete difference. He brings out in this chapter that the new covenant is far superior than the old covenant, because the new covenant that brings God's grace and spiritual life, whereas the letter of the law kills. The Old Testament law was and is designed to show mankind their sinfulness compared to God's perfect standard of holiness. The Old Covenant, well, the Ten Commandments is summed up. The Old Covenant is summed up in the Ten Commandments. There's over 613 other laws in the Old Testament, but only 10 of them. And not, we can't keep one of them 100% of the time. It conveys death, a death sentence on all humanity that was engraved originally on tablets of stone. The Ten Commandments were given to God's servant, Moses. And then they were written on animal skins, known as scrolls, and now available for everyone to read in the Old Testament scriptures. Assuming they have a Bible, whereas some places they don't still. The commandments are good because they were given by God, amen? They're good. And it reflects God's glorious, holy, just, perfect righteousness. Amen? But it does not provide forgiveness of sins and righteousness for people like you and I. Because nobody on planet Earth can keep the whole law 100% of the time. You break one law, you've broken the whole law. Amen? You know, it's got a 25, is it 25 speed limit sign down here? And someone is doing 26 or 30 or 50. They've broken that law, but they've broken the whole law. Amen? Same with the Old Testament commandments. But the good news is the new covenant does provide God's righteousness for all sinners, if they want it. And that's a choice we have to make. We either receive Jesus or we reject him, right? There's no sitting on the fence. I've been on a relative of mine who remained nameless. And he spent some time in hospital recently. What did he say? He dodged a bullet or something. He had a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call. So I send him a message and saying, you know, about Jesus and, you know, how he can be. Because supposedly he received Jesus when he was about 10 years old. I was there. He prayed the sinner's prayer and all that. Been no evidence of that in his life, unfortunately. And he wrote back, he says, I don't believe in God and I never will. So, and I wrote back and said, well, that's a choice we all have to make. Either to receive Jesus or reject him. And, you know, I haven't heard back since. But we all have to make a choice, don't we? The righteousness that the new covenant brings is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's applied to us when we receive him as our personal Savior, who paid the penalty for our sins on a cross. He shed his sinless blood that we might be forgiven of our sins. In the Old Testament, animal sacrifices, blood had to be shed, and that blood just covered the sins of the people, and they had to keep making those sacrifices over and over and over and over again. But Jesus only had to do it once, because his blood was sinless. He paid the penalty for our sins. Amen? So the law is glorious, because it's been given by God. It does reflect the holiness and the will of God, doesn't it? The Old Testament law. But it has no power to save anyone's soul. It wasn't designed to do that. But it does show us, and this is what it is designed to do, to show us how much we fall short of God's perfect standard of righteousness. That's what it's designed to do. The law gives us no help, no space, no liberty, no grace, no mercy. But it does point us to the inadequacy of sinful man to try to save himself from God's judgment, from death, spiritual death. And hell, it shows us those things. And that's the whole point of the law. It was never intended to save people from eternal damnation. Because it cannot do that, amen? Can't do it. It's only by God's grace through receiving Jesus that can illuminate spiritually blind eyes and dark, sinful hearts. Now, we read about Moses. In the Old Testament, we learn about Moses. When he met with God, he met with God face to face. If you read in Exodus 34, those that take notes, when he met with the Lord, his face would shine because it reflected the glory of God when he spoke to him. Because his face would reflect God's glory, Moses' face was transformed from normal to glorious. And when he went down to the people of Israel, he would put a veil over his face because he didn't want them to see the glory of his face that was fading, which it did. And it said the people were afraid, the Bible says. Which was the whole purpose of the veil, because Moses wanted the people to obey God's commandments that were given to him. Now, if you're a true believer, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are being changed from glory to glory. Verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, and I hope you have, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. The Lord just puts us in bondage. Jesus Christ sets us free. Freedom comes through receiving Jesus, not keeping a religious work system, trying to please God by our self-will or rituals. That's what people try to do. It doesn't work. People fail at it. So what do? They try even harder to be good, trying to keep the law, and they continue to fail because nobody can keep it. So where does that lead? Frustration, disillusionment. It doesn't work. And one of the dangers of people who religiously, and lots of religions in the world, but Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. People who religiously try to follow the letter of the law and they fail, some of them become holier than now. Holier than now. Which is self-righteousness. It was self-righteousness of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, all those religious leaders that had Jesus put to death because they were self-righteous. They wouldn't believe in him by faith, but they were trying to keep the law. But nobody can. Trying to live up to their own standard of righteousness, and they expect other people to do the same. And when they don't, they look down on them. They become holier than now. And they're miserable. And some become so discouraged and disenchanted, knowing that they can never be good enough. They give up trying altogether to find victory over sin and try to find true peace with God. Only the new covenant brings grace and life, spiritual life, righteousness and hope and peace when we maintain our faith in Jesus Christ and in nothing else. That's what we need to do every single day, to keep maintaining our faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. Now, the law, all it does is bring threats and punishment and death. But Jesus, in verse 6, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, or the Old Testament law, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Life. In Christ, you can be forgiven of all of your sins and given the power not only to live the Christian life, but have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And also, once we receive him, we have the power and the ability to share our faith with other people that don't know the way of salvation. Paul says, and this includes us, he says, we are a living letter. A living letter. We've been regenerated. We have the power, the Holy Spirit. The word for that is dunamis. That's where you get the word dynamite from. Paul said of God's goodness is because of his grace that lives in us. But if all we had was the law, it only brings with it uncertainty and no assurance of faith, no assurance of salvation. It's not meant to be designed. It's supposed to point us to Jesus Christ. If all you had was the law, it only brings uncertainty and no assurance of our salvation. Only Jesus can do that once you receive him. You'll be certain that you are saved from your sins, and you're on your road to heaven, the narrow road that leads to eternal life, not the broad road that leads to destruction. That's the road that we were on before we received Jesus. Amen? And we didn't even know it. We were blinded by the God of this world to believe a lie. Only true Christianity teaches that through faith in Jesus can anyone be guaranteed everlasting life, spiritual life. Because God, it's impossible for God to die. He's always existed. and he can give us life through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We don't have to wonder if we have been good enough today, if we've done enough good works to cover our sins, because we know that Jesus has already done that. He's taken away those sins on our behalf on the cross, where he shed his sinless blood. Amen? Amen? Amen. Only through him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Only through him, and him alone. He was the only one good enough. He was the only one that was born without sin. This is why he had to be born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. There was no human father passing on that sin trait to Jesus. She was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why the virgin birth had to take place. Only through him can he give us life, provide us with the righteousness of God. He graciously bestows on us the moment we get saved. Once we receive Jesus, we receive the righteousness of God. Amen? Because Jesus is perfect. Jesus is God, which is the only righteousness that God the Father will accept, not by keeping the Old Testament law, because nobody can keep it. The law is good. It was given by God, but it's all been fulfilled in Christ, in the new covenant. Jesus is the new covenant. And he said this in Matthew chapter 5. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He fulfilled the whole law because he was without sin. He was perfect. He never sinned. Not once. It was impossible for him to sin, even though he was a man. He never sinned because he was perfect, without sin. He didn't need a Savior. He was the Savior, amen? We need a Savior. It is by the power of God through the operation of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to the prophets, that he takes the veil away. He removes the blinders of our spiritually blind eyes and dark hearts. That allows the grace of God to work in our lives from the moment we believe till the moment we close our eyes in death, which one day we will. So we need to turn from our sins to the Savior and be forgiven. Have you been forgiven? But then, once saved, having come to the knowledge of the truth by believing faith in what Jesus has done for us, he sets us free. We're free. We're no longer in bondage to sin like we were before. And he gives us the liberty to love God and to love others and to serve him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Before, we didn't have the ability to do that. We didn't have the power. We didn't have the Holy Spirit. We were floundering and lost with the blinders on. But now that's been taken away. The new covenant brings with it grace. Amazing grace. Peace to the sinner, because Jesus took the veil away. Now, we can only truly understand the purpose of the Old Testament when we understand and believe the reason and the purpose of the New Testament. Remember, the purpose of the law is to show us our sin and point us to Jesus Christ, who was the only one good enough to pay the penalty for our sins. when we receive him by faith, it's then we are given the righteousness of God. When he sees us, he sees his Son in us. He sees the righteousness of Christ in us. He does not see our sins anymore. When we receive him by faith, we're set free from the bondage of sin and death, and we have complete liberty in Christ. But that doesn't mean we should live as we please, gratifying the old sinful nature, but have the freedom to choose to love, to live in peace with God, as we lean on the Holy Spirit each day to help us and guide us and comfort us, which he will. Once saved, the veil is gone. It's been taken away. And believers now have an unobstructed view of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now saved, his Holy Spirit begins to transform us into the same image. See, Moses was transformed when he met with God face to face, wasn't he? And now saved, the Holy Spirit is trying to conform us to the same image of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's got a lot of work to do, doesn't he? He's got a lot of work to do, starting with me. From one level of glory to another, each day, just chipping away that old rough diamond. It's called sanctification. Sanctification. Becoming more like Jesus is God's plan for our life. You want to know what your plan for this life is? He wants us to become more like Jesus through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a long way to go, doesn't he? But one day we'll be like him with all our faults and our shortcomings. One day we'll be like him and we'll see him as he is. So from the glory of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to the glory of the New Covenant, through God's transforming grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the Word of God. That's God's truth. Now, you should read it, not just on Sundays, but every day. It will benefit you greatly, spiritually. And you'll learn more about yourself and you'll learn more about God and how to live in this world. So, a gospel-centered life is a Christ-centered life. A gospel-centered life is a Christ-centered life. Where does Jesus fit in with yours? The Old Covenant, I'm almost finished, we know was written on tablets of stone. But the New Covenant is written on our hearts. He takes this old stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. The Old Covenant is the letter of the law. It brings with it condemnation and death to the soul. But the New Covenant, it brings the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings spiritual life to a dead soul. The Old Covenant reveals how hopeless our condition is, but the new one brings life and peace and hope. The Old Covenant came like Moses' face with glory that fades. But the New Covenant abounds with eternal light in the face of Jesus Christ. There's no darkness in heaven. There's not even a shadow. No darkness at all, because the glory of God shines permanently in that place. The New Covenant abounds with eternal light in the face of Jesus Christ. And let me close with verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. So, remember, the old covenant was good, is good, because it was given by God. And it's a covenant where he said, keep my commandments or die. Keep my commandments or die. But the new covenant through Jesus Christ, he said, believe in me and live. Amen. Amen. Thank God for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, again, so thankful to be here this morning. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to have your word in our own language and to be able to understand it because of your Holy Spirit that gives us a spiritual enlightenment and understanding of it. Spirit reads spirit. Because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. They are foolishness to him. And we were in that condition at one time. But because of your grace, your amazing grace, you revealed your Son to us through the teaching, the preaching of your word, and you convicted us of our sin. You showed us that we didn't need to be shown. We already knew it, that we were sinners, that we fall short of your perfect standard of righteousness revealed through the Ten Commandments. But we were lost. We were floundering, doing the best that we could to get by without the peace and direction and power of the Holy Spirit until we receive Jesus. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. And maybe somebody here, somebody listening to the message, I hope and pray that today would be the day of salvation. They will realize it was due to their sin and my sin that we put you on that cross. Because if we hadn't have been sinners, you wouldn't have had to have died and suffered and shed your sinless blood to have our sins forgiven. And you died, you were buried, you rose again from the dead, and you are alive because you are seated at the right hand of the Father and make intercession for us. And you desire that all people come to know you, whatever the color of our skin, to know you, to receive you, and to receive everlasting life because you are the life, you are the truth, you are the way. And we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and we're no longer condemned to die, but we are guaranteed a home in heaven where there is no darkness because you are there waiting for us. So we thank you again for this time that we've spent together in your word. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.